Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep,
where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Our episode today is sponsored by Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com. Matt, how are you? I'm excited to get into these voicemails. We've got a ton of them stacked up for today. Things have been a little bit quiet with the Bulls, but that's okay after some of the moves that they've made over the last couple of weeks.
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I'm honestly okay with the, you know, all quiet on the west side of Chicago front right now. It's been nice because it's timed up perfectly with my decision to get out of Chicago and also just kind of get away from Twitter for a while, because I feel like I'm not missing a whole lot. You know, I'm still reading the headlines at, you know, various, you know, sports media outlets. And I'm glad that the Bulls aren't necessarily making headlines right now. That's a good thing sometimes. I know maybe with the Nash hiring and with a couple of other, you know, rumors being thrown around about other coaching seats, that maybe Bulls fans are still getting a little bit angsty about, you know, what's AK doing? What's the coaching search? But it's like, we went through that with why have they not fired Jim Boylan yet? So I'm not going to go through that with why have they not hired the proper coach yet? Because based on all accounts, everybody that they had on their list of most likely candidates to bring in, at least initial list of candidates, those people are all still available. So I'm doing just fine.
That's the next step.
Let's get to our...
Shut up, Jim!
Let's get to our voicemails, because we do have a lot of them and want to make sure we can try to get to, hopefully, all of them. 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Let's go to the first one.
Matt, Jordan, we got the fourth pick, not the seventh, man. Hallelujah. I'm excited to not have another seventh pick, and I'm ecstatic that we didn't drop down in this year's draft. With that said, what's next? What do we do now with this pick, considering where players fall? I think LaMelo's going first to Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't had a star caliber point guard since, what, Stephon Marbury probably in the 90s? I think Anthony Edwards is going to go two, you know, because, you know, the Warriors have Klay Thompson coming off that ACL injury. He's on the other side of 30. So I think they're going to want to take the most promising two guard to have under the wing of Klay Thompson and them. And Golden State. And I think Charlotte, I don't think they have a prominent big man right now, right? So I think they're going to take Wiseman. So then that leaves us with, I'm thinking, either Denny Avdija or Obi Toppin at that fourth spot. Either or. I'm not sure which one, really. But, I mean, if there was a star on the market that could be had with trading our pick, or if we could trade our pick for, you know, more picks or something, like if we trade down to get another first round pick next year, I would not be opposed to that. It just seems like there's so many avenues to go down possibly that could work in our favor. I'm excited. Let me know what you guys think. And as always, thank you. Go Bulls.
I think the best point brought up there, and thanks for the call, was the fact that the Bulls do have a lot of options now that they bumped up to the fourth overall pick. And you know, if it does go pretty chalk, Matt, with Edwards, Ball, and Wiseman pretty much going 1-3, I think there's a lot more avenues the Bulls can explore. vice versa, if James Wiseman falls to them or one of those other three guys falls to them, I think the decision's pretty easy, right? If Ball, Edwards, or Wiseman fall to the Bulls, I think you have to take one of those three guys if they slide one pick. But if it goes pretty chalk, I think there's an open opportunity for, I know the Bulls fans are not going to want to hear it, and you said that you would be a favor for this if they did this, was potentially moving down and adding some more assets.
Yeah. To me, that's still best case scenario, assuming that those, you know, top three are off the board. I think some Bulls fans would be more than happy to just stay at four and draft Denny Avdija. I also would not be opposed to staying at four and drafting Killian Hayes if he's still there available, the lefty playmaker who's got a huge amount of upside, in my opinion. But if AK sees an opportunity to trade down, knowing that he can still get somebody he wants by doing so and adding an asset, I would be more than fine with that. I think the caller brought up pretty fair points about the likelihood of who's going to go where. I would be surprised to see Minnesota pass on LaMelo, even though they have D'Angelo right now, because he just seems like perhaps the best chance to take a swing at a real, franchise-altering kind of talent. Edwards could probably be a very good fit in Golden State. And like you said, maybe with the aging and injuries of Klay Thompson recently, kind of maybe looking for the person to come in and take that step behind him and maybe play alongside Steph Curry if Steph plays longer than Klay. Not to say that I assume that happens. Klay certainly seems to be, even when he's injured, a guy who recovers quickly and is like an Iron Man of the NBA. So maybe the Warriors aren't even thinking that far ahead yet. They could use a big, though. So maybe the Warriors might look at Wiseman. And then you're just wondering what is left for Charlotte to do. Most of Charlotte's star potential right now is in the backcourt or at the wing position. I agree with our caller there. It's not like you're planning long term about, Cody Zeller or Bismack Biyombo or even, Willie Hernan Gomez. You got some small ball stuff where you could play PJ Washington, who looked to be just a really strong talent so far in his short NBA career. But, mostly it's about Rozier, Graham, and Bridges in Charlotte right now. So I think they would certainly take a swing on Wiseman if he were there. And then when it comes to the Bulls, like you said, if AK likes somebody at four, stay there, great. If he says, you know what, let's trade down and collect assets, I'm cool with that too.
I'm good with any of that happening. Yeah, and I didn't even think about Golden State with the possibility of taking Wiseman, but that's a good point, too. I think they're going Edwards, though. I think Ball, like you said, going to Minnesota. And they also have Jarrett Culver, too. Who's to say that they can't run a lineup out there that's Russell, Ball, Jarrett Culver, and Towns, and then you fill in your four with whoever you have? I think they have Anthony Tolliver still for another year that they've been playing at the four. I don't know who else is their four. Is it Dario Saric? I could be wrong on that. Yeah. But anyway, they could run a lineup of those four guys out there, and that's a lot of athleticism you've got on the wings. So there's some possibilities the Bulls could make, and maybe we can even talk about trade possibilities with even some of the top 10 teams in the lottery here by moving down and what assets teams would be willing to move up to the number four spot.
All right, Jordan, before we get to our next voicemail, I wanted to tell our listeners about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money, so that you can use that money for other important things like mortgage and groceries. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? For example, the Delphi FG 1456 fuel pump assembly for the 2005 through 2010 Honda Odyssey is currently listed at $353.99 at Advance, one of those big chain stores. At rockauto.com, you can get it for just $216.79. Crazy savings. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck with reliably low prices. The same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com, write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
Hey guys, this is Corey from Peoria. Just calling in because, man, I'm just happy as fuck this year that we don't have number seven as a pick. You know, I'm like, this year is ultimately looking good. Tanaka's useless ass is gone. Roiland's meathead ass is gone. Guard Pack's useless ass is gone. And, like, things are finally starting to trend in the right direction.
Guard is absolutely safe, yes.
I'm interested to think what you guys think of AK's potential pick, being that he came, from Denver, right? And they had some interesting picks in the past couple years. Michael Porter Jr., blah, blah, blah. So I'm interested to hear about that. As well as I'm interested to hear, what do you think about the Minnesota number one overall pick, right? Is it worth trading Zach LaVine or even just seeing if they wanted a Zach LaVine package in order to move up to number one or even sell off some picks in the future to see if we could steal another lottery pick or something like that, which I know is a little more far-fetched. But I think that Minnesota would rather have NBA-ready Zach LaVine over Anthony Edwards, which is who I'm seeing projected. So I just wanted to hear you guys' thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Corey. Interesting thought. Matt, if we're talking a possibility of trading up to one, I know we briefly mentioned it, talking about the reaction to the draft and us getting four, but to move up to one, do you think it takes Minnesota asking Zach LaVine back in a package to even start that conversation?
It might. Even in a supposedly weak draft class like this, NBA franchises know and executives in front offices know just how valuable number one picks are. In many cases, just having the number one pick without knowing who it's going to be is more valuable than a player who was at one point a number one pick, even recently. It is the allure of the mystery box, and it's the biggest, coolest looking mystery box, the number one overall pick in any year's draft class. So maybe the T-Wolves look at it that way and say, I don't want to hear about, well, this is a weak draft class. We've got the number one pick. Who wants it? Come and get it. If they don't want to take LaMelo Ball. Now, maybe they see Zach LaVine as a pretty interesting backcourt pairing to put next to D'Angelo Russell, and then you've got perhaps like a trio of stars with him, LaVine, and Towns. That's a cool idea. And maybe they see Zach fitting more alongside Russ than LaMelo Ball, because LaMelo certainly looks to be a rising star playmaker at the guard position. D'Angelo is certainly more of a shoot first guy, and that's what Zach LaVine is as well. So I can't tell the future to say would Minnesota demand Zach LaVine come back in any trade where the Bulls interested in trading up. That certainly is entirely up to what they see the value at for that number one overall pick. Let's also not forget that Minnesota had Zach LaVine and traded him. Like, that was 3 years ago, and certainly things have changed in Minnesota since then. The Tibbs era that came and went fairly quickly, and there's been a lot of turnover. But Minnesota had Zach and traded him. So are they eager to get him back? I don't know. What I do know is that if I'm AK, am I trading away Zach LaVine to move up to number one and take LaMelo? I don't love that idea.
I'm just trying to think of a package that you would put together that would be enticing enough for both sides to say yes. There's no way you could keep number four. You'd have to include number four for the Timberwolves to move down. I don't think the Bulls have the assets, and you're willing to trade away Markkanen or Carter and LaVine plus any future assets you already have. I'm talking about picks outside of this year,
right?
If you wanted one or four.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Bulls ask for the number one pick in Jarrett Culver. So you're asking for two lottery picks over the last 2 years for Zach LaVine in your number four. You probably have to get a little closer. I don't know who on whose side. That seems to be a base level makes sense for both sides. You plug Zach LaVine into where Jarrett Culver was playing. Minnesota drops to four, and they could look to find their hole at four. And I mean, even if the Bulls had to throw in something else, throw Thaddeus Young in there, there's their four guy, and maybe Minnesota gives you another guy back, maybe a younger piece that's controllable, like AK has talked about he wants. I don't know. There might be a situation or an avenue if Minnesota's open to discussions of moving out of that number one spot to make a deal with the Bulls. But if you ask me, I don't think Minnesota's the best trade partner for the Bulls right now. I think there's other teams in this top 10 that make more sense for the Bulls to trade with, and that could be trading down as well.
It could be. Yeah, and again, like, and I may have said this last week at some point, the team that seems most likely to be a candidate to want to trade down out of the top three is Golden State, a team that still has championship pieces and most of a championship roster. That, yeah, maybe they do look at a player like Wiseman and see, okay, here's a young big who we can develop and maybe bridge the gap of the Steph, Clay, Draymond era and have a nice young piece to go along with Wiggins. And if they want to hang on to Wiggins, or maybe, you know, they're already looking to get off of his contract. But other than that, I could absolutely see Golden State saying, we're going to try and run it back. When Steph, Clay, and Draymond are healthy, we're a contender with the right, you know, pieces around them. So let's plan for a rainy day, trade down, and collect some assets for the future.
I'm just looking even too to see, like, is there anything Golden State could give the Bulls that would make sense? And we talked about a deal for Draymond, but I don't know if they're going to trade him, man, and keep Wiggins, and then you add LaVine, then you have no big men at all. If I was going to deal with Golden State, I would be in an opportunity where I would want to keep both picks, 2 and 4, and I don't think the Bulls have enough assets to deal away. And then you're starting to talk about mixing up the entire roster. So who's at 4? At 4, Matt, I've said it multiple times, and I know you may have a differing opinion on this, but at 4, we took in our mock draft with all of the teams 1 through 14 in this latest one that got tweeted out over the past week. We took Denny Avdija, but we originally at 7, before the lottery had happened, had taken Wiseman when he slid. And I think our reasoning was, if the Bulls have any opportunity here, best player available, at least in my opinion, is going to be Wiseman, whether it's at 4 or whether it be at 7, like we talked about a month ago. That would be my guy. I would take him and deal with all the other problems of having too many big men on this roster later. But people were kind of scratching their head why we took Avdija over maybe Wiseman and letting him slide all the way to 9. Our reasoning was just to kind of mix it up and talk about different guys and who else might be an actual candidate or a favorite.
Yeah, I think that certainly was part of the reason we did that, because we hadn't talked about Denny that much yet, because in the previous mocks we had, you know, been drafting later and Wiseman fell to us both times, and so we were like, all right, well, let's roll with that. It certainly made sense. Now at 4, there are a few different players that we talked about. I think it will come down to it. There's always the opportunity for AK to surprise us and maybe take somebody that none of us are talking about right now, because we all think that that's somebody who's not top five material. And maybe the mid to late stage of the lottery, but maybe AK and his staff of scouts and talent evaluators see something in somebody that isn't Denny Avdija, that isn't Isaac Okoro, that isn't Killian Hayes. And maybe we all get surprised. But to me, those are the three names right now that I think are most likely, assuming the first three teams go chalk.
I'm going to have to do this for early next week, but Matt, I'm going to go pull all of our picks and see what our roster would have looked like if all of our picks that we had made over the last, since being here with the Locked On Podcast Network, which is going to be now 3 years in November. I'm going to go pull all the picks that we have from those past years and look at what roster we have compared to what the Bulls have and see if it's any different how our picks ended up turning out from the first and the second round. And we also made some deals last year too. Goga Batazde was the guy that we made a deal for and traded back into the first round last year with Portland. That ended up being a really good deal. He's a great player. He's a great young big. And I think the Pacers are finding out that they struck gold with him. But yeah, I think the Bulls, again, going back to the first caller, even talking about the avenues that the Bulls are going to have to be able to make deals is going to be far, far great, especially if it goes chalk. So thanks for the call. Let's get to another voicemail here, Matt.
What's up, fellas? Long-time listener. This is Micah from the 720-303. I wanted to call in, but I wanted to wait until, you know, Boylan had finally been given the boot. I don't know what took so freaking long with that, but whatever, it happened.
Thanks a lot.
Matt Peck, way to call that out and speak that into existence about getting that number four pick. I love it. I love it. You guys know how big of a fan I am of Zach LaVine, but I'm also someone who likes to look at the other side of the coin. So here's my question for you guys. Would you trade Lauri Markkanen and, let's say, Lauri Markkanen to Golden State for the number two pick, or Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine to Golden State for the number two pick? Would that be something you guys would look at? Would you think that there would be more that you'd want to get from Golden State in that deal? Let me know what you think.
Thanks for the call, and I actually hadn't listened to that before playing it. So talking a little bit, going off of what we had just said, Matt, turning to Golden State quickly again, any deal that makes a lot of makes sense, it makes sense for Zach LaVine to go back there, right? Going back to the Pacific Northwest, he played ball at UCLA, kind of makes sense for him to be back in California, would be on a team that actually wants to win. Surrounded by some great shooters as well, guys that could protect him on defense. But the question is what's enticing enough for the Bulls to get back on that roster, and also looking at their right. their salary cap?
Because, like, you could make the argument that Zach LaVine is a better Andrew Wiggins. There are differences to their game, but a shooter, a pure scorer who's got some issues on the defensive end, sure. Zach is on a contract a hell of a lot cheaper than Wiggins and is a better player. So, I mean, that's a simple upgrade to me if you're Golden State. And maybe you know, Zach would like to go back to the West Coast because of his UCLA years and, of course, also his roots in the Pacific Northwest, as you said. The cap situation would be the tricky part of that. And I'm just going to say flat out, I have no interest in the Bulls bringing Andrew Wiggins back on that contract. God, no. No.
So it would have to be Draymond Green in two if you're talking about a deal for Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. And you're probably going to have to throw four in there. And maybe you don't even have to include, you know, maybe you don't even have to include Markkanen if you're including the fourth pick. I mean, there's scenarios if Golden State is open to it, to dealing Draymond Green to the Bulls, that could happen. What are your ideas? I know we talked a bit briefly a couple of weeks ago. Are you open to the idea if you wanted to go and play a little bit more of a smaller ball and you decided to deal Markkanen or Carter? Say you brought Green in and it's Carter and Green as your 4 and 5. What do you think about that to move up to number two to say maybe grab LaMelo or Anthony Edwards?
Ooh, that's certainly an interesting proposition. And while, you know, Draymond, here's the interesting thing about Draymond. He's got a contract right now that was, so he signed a 4-year extension in August of last year for $99 million and change. So next season, he's making 22, then 24, then 25. Then he's got a player option in 23, 24 for $27.5 million when he'll be 33. Now, I'm not saying I think Draymond is kaput. I think at age 30 right now, he's got at least a few good years of basketball in front of him if he stays focused and stays healthy. But we've seen and heard things about Draymond recently that, like, he kind of loafing around as far as being in game shape and then having to like work himself into game shape for a playoff run. That was the storyline last year. And then certainly this season with the injuries to Clay and Steph, Draymond was like, all right, well, whatever. Like, you know, try and be a veteran leader for this team that's clearly just lottery bound right now. So we didn't really get to see a whole lot of what Draymond has left when he's playing the role he is meant to play and where he excels being a very good complementary piece on a good team. So all that being said, right now it's kind of hard for me to gauge how effective Draymond would be in this Bulls system, pairing him with Wendell. To me, that tandem, as far as front court tandems go, would be kind of offensively limited based on everything we've seen so far from Wendell, and knowing that Draymond can pick and choose his spots to score, but he's certainly more of a distributor. And I wouldn't mind a guy who plays in the front court like Draymond adding playmaking to this Bulls roster that is so devoid of it right now. And maybe instead of just trying to find the proper guard to be your playmaker, you can add a player like Draymond. I don't think that his contract right now is ridiculous. If he has 4 good years left in him, that's the question.
I think that's a good point. And then at some point you need to bring in veteran leadership too for the long term. Do you consider him that? Also to the one, I honestly don't know what Draymond Green's trade value is. Maybe we can check in with the Locked On Warriors guys and ask, hypothetically, if there was a scenario in which Golden State was looking to shop Draymond Green, what do they need to get back? And here's the scenario we're laying out for them. But I don't think it's as expensive or as pricey as you may think. I think there's a deal that could be made. It just depends on... if you're bringing Draymond Green in, the idea is that you're taking LaMelo Ball at 2, right, Matt?
Yeah, I would think so.
So then you rely on the shooting basically to come from Kobe White and LaMelo Ball, which I'm okay with. Let those dudes take 40 shots a game. I'm perfectly fine with that. And let Wendell be a part of the offense for once. I think he's got an offensive game we never get to see either. So combine that with the fact you still got Otto Porter for a year, his money comes off the books. That would be the only thing, is then you're tying yourself up for the next 2 or 3 years, which Raymond's contract, it just kind of limits you in free agency, although it's still very unknown what any of that's going to look like in the short term coming up over the next couple of seasons. So I guess we just wait and see, but that's what a deal would look like if you're talking about going to Golden State and asking for a proposal. It's going to take probably LaVine, year 4 pick, and then a discussion about any of the other younger pieces on your team.
Yeah. And that would be certainly a big change to make. I still think, and again, this goes back to what I was saying about AK maybe surprising us with who he takes at 4 if they keep that pick. It's possible that AK surprises all of us and pulls some big trade on draft night or leading up to this draft night. That involves dealing one of Zach Lowry, as this caller suggested, or maybe Wendell. But I still think that he wants to at least take the first part of the next bull season, whenever that comes around, to evaluate what they currently have before making any rash decisions. And again, other than Zach LaVine, every player's trade value on this Bulls roster right now, because of the miserable season they just had and the lack of development and regression under Jim Boylan, every player's trade value is at an all-time low. And AK knows that.
Let's get to another voicemail, and then we'll wrap things up with some text messages, Matt. Here's the next one. Thanks for the calls. All, again, you can drop those at 331-979-1369.
Hey, guys. Sorry, this is Danny again. Not sure why it hung up on me. But one of the trade packages I was going to say is maybe us trading one of our bigs, whether that be Lowry or Wendell. I do think that there are a couple centers I like out there. I think somebody that would be good for us and would be pretty cheap just because of his recent injuries would be Boogie Cousins. Now, I know that a lot of people would probably not like Boogie Cousins because of the way he acts and stuff, but I do think what I do like is his toughness and the way that he basically doesn't let his teammates go ahead and hug each other and be all friendly and stuff with the other guys. I remember when he was in Sacramento, he would pull his young guys when they were trying to shake hands with the other guys, and I think that that's a problem with the Bulls right now, is that they're too friendly, and yeah, they just need that toughness.
So there is a case to be made that the Bulls don't have a hard ass on their team. They don't have a guy that's going to go out there and bully people around.
Are you talking about? They have Jim Boylan. Oh, wait. Never mind.
That's the growth plate. Do you really want me to comment on that?
But they don't have that player, right? I mean, Jimmy was sort of that dog before, but after that, who did we have? I mean, we had Bobby Portis maybe, but after they dealt Bobby Portis away, we don't have that dog anymore. So I can understand.
Archie, hello. Jack Harrison, dude's a football player.
The Bulls are the teddy bears. The Bulls got a... There's nobody that goes onto that floor and anybody's nervous of, at least right now in the NBA. Nobody's nervous of physicality-wise. Boogie would be good if you can get him cheap, and why I say that is as a reserve big, maybe even teaching Daniel Gafford a thing or two, I think that would be good. Some good mentorship if you can find the right coach to be able to handle that situation. Now we're talking a lot of moving parts here into one season, and then you bring in Boogie Cousins too, which you don't know if he's going to blow things up or if he's going to be okay. It's a lot to ask, but I can understand bringing in somebody that's going to ramp up the Bulls' physicality and make them a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I obviously the health is a concern. Back when, you remember a few years ago when there were a lot of rumors about Boogie maybe being a target for the Bulls in a trade, just to shake things up, and he was getting sick of Sacramento and they were getting sick of him. And then that didn't happen, and then, you know, eventually traded off to New Orleans. So I just don't know. Like, you know, the Lakers collected a disabled player exception back in September of last year, and then waived him after that injury. So it would have been very fascinating to see what Boogie would have looked like playing with Bron and AD and that Lakers crew. I just don't. There's not a whole lot to go on right now when it comes to whether or not he could be a fact. I don't disagree with our caller at all about Boogie being a hard ass that maybe this Bulls team needs right now. To me, it's just, can the dude play?
It's a good point. Think about all the injuries the Bulls have dealt with over the last 3 years. It's not great. Matt, let me ask you this. Going on, thanks for the call again. Chauncey Billups is open in discussions to pursue a head coaching job in the NBA. What do you think about bringing him in?
Yeah, so I just saw that Twitter alert while we're recording here. Which is pretty fascinating because we've heard his name around, you know, someday soon, retired players going to take a head coaching job in the NBA. We've heard his name a lot when it comes to those conversations. And then back a few years ago, in 2017, he almost took the GM job with the Cavs and then said, you know what, never mind, I don't want the job. So it looks like from this initial report, which is Yahoo Sports, Chris Haynes, it doesn't say if there's any particular team that is looking at him closer than the others, or if he is a front runner with any team, or if he has any teams that he wants to coach at specifically. It just mentions, you know, the vacancies that we were talking about in our previous episode, Philly, New Orleans, Indiana, and Chicago, now that Brooklyn has hired Steve Nash. So I certainly think Billups has potential to be a very good NBA head coach. And I absolutely would be hoping that the Bulls at least bring him in for an interview. If he's interested in the Bulls job, bring him in for an interview.
In 2012, he got voted as the most likely active player in the NBA to become a head coach by all the general managers. So that's high regard, especially at 36, still playing the league. Chris Paul had some really nice comments too, said he needs to stop being selfish and come on the road with us and start giving us some pointers. This is back again in 2012, but still a lot of that resonates. And Matt, there's some interesting connections with Chris Paul too in the Bulls that I think we need to dive deeper into, especially if OKC is looking to open things up and maybe deal his contract in the near future. And that's in combination with talking about keeping Zach LaVine here long term. That could be a definite possibility. I know you're not a big fan of Chris Paul, but there's
Chicago.
A little bit of smoke going there. I could create a little bit of smoke going there.
Credit to CP3 for making that Thunder team relevant this season. But I want Chris Paul nowhere near my organization. Sorry, I don't. Dude, I just, he can't, he drives me crazy. I know that, you know, he cares a lot about his role in the Players Association. I also think he has used it to be a very self-serving role, and you know, financially and as well as power. And the dude, the flopping, the bitching at the refs constantly, nonstop, the dirty plays, the dirty fouls. What, how many days ago was it where he had his most recent incident where he just kicked an opponent in the nuts, clearly, evidently? And we and people rag on Grayson Allen for being a dirty player, which he is, but it's like, oh my God. Oh God, no. Keep CP3
Chris
away.
Paul was making fun of James' man boobs in practice to the point that he broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices.
Oh,
One of the greatest sounds of all
Skip
time. Skip got played hard.
Chris Paul was making fun of James' man boobs in practice to the point that he broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices.
Come on, Skip. Do your fact-checking, man.
Skip. Oh. Matt, let's wrap with this. This touches on the coaches as well, and I think this is a very, very good question for Bulls fans to think about over the next several days. This is from the 217. It says, Steve Nash coaching the Nets. I think we're all thinking the same thing. How long until we inevitably hire Carlos Boozer as our own Chicago legend? Am I right? Laughing emoji. So obviously kidding, but he said, seriously, I did not see that hire coming at all. Do you guys think there's a player in this Chicago coaching search that hasn't yet been considered or is quietly being interviewed?
Well, there's Chauncey, who we were just talking about. I guess there's that name. The other retired players getting into coaching, I mean, a lot of them are already there. And then the next one that people talk about all the time is a dude who hasn't even retired yet, and that's Rajon Rondo. So to me, I think now that Billups is throwing his hat into the ring, now that Steve Nash decided that he was ready to coach, those are the two most obvious names. As far as anybody that might have ties to the Bulls past, you know, I was like, no, Boozer's, you know, enjoying life, making podcasts and yelling hold at to strangers walking down the street. I don't know. And then here's one name, and some Bulls fans would probably love this idea and some Bulls fans would hate it. Speaking of players tied to the organization who have perhaps a coaching NBA job in their future, Kirk Heinrich.
That's a weird situation, man, and we need to get more information on what's going on there, because I thought his tenure with the Bulls and his communication with the Bulls when he retired wasn't great, but then, yeah, he came back and now is a special advisor to the team, sort of what the role of like Scottie Pippen was like, hey, here's the name title and here's a paycheck, just say good things about our team when asked to do interviews and such. But
well, that's different than actually working with the guys.
True.
Scotty and Horace and Tony had those roles of special advisor to the Reinsdorfs, and their job was to basically show up at events, schmooze the fans, especially season ticket holders, and just be like, hey, remember us? Remember how great we were back in the day? Yeah, wave to the nice people. Wave to the Bulls fans who spend their money on this team. Whereas Kirk was actually rumored to be like working with guys in the gym and helping them with their game.
I like to associate myself with winning. I got fired this year.
Oh, Scotty.
That's a good name, though, too. Like, names that are not really connected to the Bulls but were former players. I don't know how likely this is to happen, especially because these two just joined college programs. But Jerry Stackhouse going to Vanderbilt. We talked about that last year, Matt, even when Fred got fired, that Zach LaVine and him have a close relationship and a connection there. So, again, if you're going to keep Zach LaVine around in the long-term future, that makes sense. And also Juwan Howard,
yeah.
In Michigan. But I don't see him leaving Michigan. Don't leave Michigan. Don't leave that job. If you win even a little bit, you will be loved and paid forever. So I just don't see either of those happening. But maybe there's names that are being talked with among a lot of the circles, and that would make a lot of sense considering the Bulls just love hiring first-time head coaches.
That's true. They do. And if they hired first-time head coach Kirk Heinrich, I'll be so happy, just because I don't know if he's going to be a good coach in the NBA, but I know it would drive C-Red Fred crazy. And boy, that would be fun.
Oh, man. That would be... Oh, it would be a love-hate relationship.
Pound sand.
It would be a love-hate relationship.
We gotta get Freddie back on the pod sometime soon.
We do. It's been way too long. As we ramp up, hopefully we're going to hear about some training camp news or some of these private workouts in the next couple of weeks. But we definitely need to get some of our Bulls friends back on the show during this offseason. But that's going to about do it. We didn't even get to half of the voicemails or text messages you guys continue to leave us. So maybe we'll do those more frequently. Maybe we'll do a couple of each episode as we go through the rest of the offseason. So you guys continue to leave us at those at 331-979-1369 on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Thanks to our sponsor in RockAuto.com. Go to RockAuto.com. Find all the car parts you will ever need. Make sure to mention Locked On as where you heard about it. Locked On Bulls or Locked On Podcast Network. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com